Welcome back to Mining Stock Education. I'm Bill Powers. Thanks for tuning in. If you want to engage the show, you can reach me as always at bill@miningstockeducation.com. Coming up on Tuesday, July 16th at 3 p.m. Eastern, and that would be noon Pacific time, my partner Carrie Lutz of the Financial Survival Network and myself will be hosting a live investor summit for Northern Vertex Mining. Jamie Keach, his group at Resource Insider also invested in this company. So Jamie will be presenting on what he looks for in a mining investment, as well as talking about why he invested specifically in Northern Mining Vertex. This is America's newest gold producer, and they're just right at that point on the Lassonde curve where you really start to see the share price appreciation as cash flow and production increases. I'm going to put a link in the description below so you can register for that live investor summit, and make sure you're on our email list so you can get invitations to future live investor summits. Well, joining me today is Jordan Roiburn of thedailygold.com to talk about gold, the gold markets, and more specifically, Jordan's new book. I should say his updated book. If you've been a subscriber to Jordan's email list, you know that he, a few years ago, released a book on his macro view for gold. Well, he's updated that book, so he's here to tell us about those updates and give us his perspective on gold and the gold stocks. So, Jordan, welcome back to Mining Stock Education.
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure to be back.
What is the impetus for your updated book? You know, from the macro perspective, what are the key things that you should share with us about why you rewrote this book?
Well, the impetus, that's a great question, by the way, is because my macro view, my macro market view and macroeconomic view had changed. Because 4 years ago, I was looking at gold being in a severe correction. And then, you know, my prediction then was gold's going to start to go up and the stock market's going to have another bear market, might not necessarily be horrible, and gold's going to have a boom for 5 years, and then that's going to be it. That's going to be it to the what began in the year 2000, and that would be it for the secular bear market in stocks. Now, fast forward 4 more years, and it's clear that the stock market, it's in a secular bull market. It had a major breakout in 2013, and it's continued to move higher year after year. So we really can't dispute that. So we have to take that into context. Also, while precious metals did make a major bottom there at the end of 2015 and early 2016, as we know, after that huge rocket in early 2016, they basically went sideways in the case of gold, or sideways to lower in the case of the gold stocks, and even worse than that in silver. So a new bull market didn't, I mean, you could say it began at the end of 2015, but only time will tell. Basically, we just had a really good 6 or 7 months there. And while precious metals did not make new lows, they were well off the old lows, they weren't rising. You know, they were going sideways and trending lower, as I said. So all of these issues and developments caused me to rethink things and have to change my view. And so I was looking at things now, and given how historically cheap precious metals were, and especially gold stocks, there were a lot of similarities to the late 1950s and early 1960s. And from that point forward, gold stocks did very well in the 60s and 70s. But also looking at the position of the stock market and looking at what are expected returns going forward, they're going to be low single digits. Looking at that, looking at the fact that many valuation indicators were near historical extremes, the same thing happened in the mid-1960s. So looking at the stock market historically, the best comparison was really the early 1960s. And I just said the same thing for the gold stock. So that made sense. And then looking at statistical inflation, like when you look at, when people talk about inflation in the macro market sense, we can't think about it as the cost of living. When they talk about inflation, it's obviously detached from the cost of living, which is rising aggressively and has been for many years. But if we think about inflation as statistical inflation, or really commodity prices, that's what it comes down to. Because if you're looking at statistical inflation, When it rises and accelerates and trends higher, you know, more so than the 1 or 2% a year, commodity prices and commodities as a whole do really well. So when we think about inflation in the macro market sense, it's really commodity prices. Commodity prices and bond yields, well, just stopping for commodity prices, talking about bond yields look like they could be potentially at the, you know, at the beginning of a new secular upturn, where several years ago they bottomed. They're obviously, you know, they haven't bottomed in other parts of the world, but in the U.S. they really bottomed in 2016. And so we really could be at the beginning of a secular upturn. And that's what we saw in the early 1960s. And same thing with statistical inflation, by the way, and commodity prices. So looking at all these things, I see strong comparisons to the early or mid 1960s. And that, so that really is, you know, the new macro view of this book is like, we're not at the end of something that began in 2000. We're at the beginning of something that's different. And we're really at the beginning of something that's going to result in higher inflation over the next 10 to 20 years. So that's really it. My macro market view changed, and I strongly feel that we are, obviously every period is not the same as a past historical period, but if we're looking for a time to really compare it to and the position of markets and how they might perform going forward, the early to mid 1960s is the best comparison.
The subtitle of your book is Why Precious Metals Investments Will Flourish in the 2020s and 2030s. And one quote I wrote down here as I went through your book, you said, the next major inflation and commodity peak could be around 2040, which is two decades from now. Can you expand upon that?
Sure. And this is really interesting. I was looking at silver. And I know that some people like to talk about the 60-year cycle and it being extremely powerful. And looking at silver and also looking at commodity prices, they've had major peaks every 60 years. Most notably, we can go back to the Civil War in the early 1960s. And then in 1920, there was a big inflationary peak. I mean, we had the 1921 Depression, but it only lasted 1 year. Because they let it cleanse itself. But anyway, 60 years from then, we had the major peak in 1980. So 60 years going forward is 2040. And if we look at, there's also a 30-year cycle, because if you look at, there's the peak in 1920, but there was an inflationary peak in 1951, then one in 1980, then we saw another one in 2011. So the 30 and 60-year cycle are lining up for 2040, and when the 60-year cycle, when that hits, it's even more powerful than the peak every 30 years. So we're due for a 60-year peak in the next, you know, inflation commodity cycle in 2040. And on top of that, I really like the work of Barry Bannister. I have this in the book, and he's a strategist on Wall Street. And he's been really accurate. He was a big bull on commodities in the early 2000s. And then I think in 2012 or 2013, I remember seeing him on TV and he said, you know, hard assets are done. The stock market's the place to be. And so he was totally right about that. He was right about his commodity and gold prediction. I remember listening to him on Financial Sense in the early 2000s. So this is a Wall Street strategist who's not afraid to call what he really sees. He's not, if he sees something that's, negative, or he sees something that's bullish for gold and not bullish for the stock market, he's not afraid to call that out. And, there's some of his work. It's a little bit old, but you can find some of his work on the internet. And he has these huge PDF files. And so he has this chart of basically major peaks in inflation. He's looking at the 10-year, like the 10-year moving average peak. And so he shows peaks every 55 to 60 years, basically. So he's projecting the next major peak is 2036 to 2041, sometime there. And he's looking, you know, based on what he's looking at a major, major inflationary peak. And he basically talks about, you know, when we're going to have to let inflation run and, you know, print money to pay, you know, pay back the debt and all that, that sort of thing. He thinks that's really going to start to hit around 2030. So that also lines up with the 60-year cycle. So those things, and then, I mean, I can discuss more and more looking at just where commodity prices are and statistical inflation. We might get, you know, if this cycle extends for a year or two, you know, we could see a pop in inflation, but I don't think we're going to see the CPI get above 3 or 4%. Probably until the middle of the next decade. Maybe it's 2026 or 2027 or 2024. I don't know, but I'm just thinking we could see that happen around that time frame. And that to me is going to be the point when we have to basically suppress interest rates and let inflation run and keep long-term rates really low, keep the Fed funds rate low. That's what we had to do in the 40s. So that to me is going to be that'll be the real catalyst for the next commodity bull market. But precious metals are, you know, certainly that's going to be very bullish for gold. But precious metals, in my view, they will have already moved somewhat by that time. Because if you go back to the 1960s, the rate of inflation really broke out in 1968, 69. And that was when commodities as a whole really started to outperform the stock market. However, if you go back to the early 60s, various metals prices actually started to move in 1960. But the reason why commodities as a whole did not move until 68 was because like the energy commodities, the soft commodities, the ags, like they did nothing until the end of that decade. So that's why the CRB didn't bottom until 68. But if you look at platinum from 60 to 67 move like I think almost 400%. Silver moved a little, you know, about 200% or so. As we know, the gold stocks, they performed fabulously from 1960 to 1968. So that, you know, that lines up with you know, what I'm talking about here in the 2020s. But again, the real trigger is going to be when the rate of inflation, again, statistically the CPI, when that gets above 3 or 4%, that's going to be when, you know, we're going to see very strong moves in commodities, very strong moves in precious metals. And that, you know, I'm still bullish on precious metals over the next couple of years, but this inflationary event I'm talking about, I don't think that's going to start to hit until around the middle of the next decade. So I know it was a long answer, but you know, that's how I see these things.
This episode of Mining Stock Education is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp. is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp. has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortez Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who's directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp. is well-financed and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding, and it trades on a major stock exchange, the NASDAQ, under the ticker USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold. I should mention that listeners can retrieve a free copy of the book at thedailygold.com right there on the homepage. You just enter your email and Jordan will send you the PDF copy of the book that we're talking through. Jordan, one of the key takeaways, your book documents why you believe what you believe, but one of the key takeaways that I wrote down here was that you believe that there's going to be a potential price peak in gold and silver that's going to be higher than many of the most ardent gold bulls predict, but that final peak is going to come later than expected, which I thought was very interesting. There's those that have the view of a rising gold price and all dramatic gold prices due to a hard currency reset, the devaluation of the U.S. dollar. Is your view compatible with people that hold that view?
Probably more or less. I wouldn't say it's not. I wouldn't say it's incompatible. You know, I didn't. As far as when that could happen, if we start to get inflation to move, then there's going to be, I think for a reset, there's going to be less talk about that, especially if we start to get inflation to move and nominal GDP picks up. But if you look at the data and you look at history, any way you look at it, there's going to be some new kind of monetary system that has to come about. And I mean, based on history and all the data, that tells me that, you know, the next major peak is probably 15 to 20 years away. And if you look at the data, I know that I like to joke sometimes about, people's ridiculous price targets. But if you look at historical data, if you look at where the monetary base is, how much it's going to grow, and you look at where that, how that lines up with gold peaks and where it could be in 15, 20 years. If you look at the S&P 500, I mean, it's almost at, where is it right? Exactly 3,000 right now as I look at it. I mean, if you project returns going forward, 2 or 3% a year, I mean, that's going to get you to, 3,500 maybe, and that's 2030. If that doesn't go anywhere for 10 years, or it's, let's just say it's 3,500. I mean, the historical peaks in the gold to S&P ratio have been 4 a couple times. It's even been at 5. I think it was at 7 in 1980. If you just use 4 times an S&P of 3,500, that's getting you to 14,000. Now, if we look at the monetary base, and based on what happened at the various gold historical peaks, the gold to monetary base ratio, that's going to give you gold prices past 20,000. And if you look at the gold to silver ratio historically, that has bottomed 2 or 3 times at 16 to 1. So what does that tell you could happen to silver? I mean, silver could go to 4 digits. Now, granted, at the end, if you remember what happened in 79 and early 80, the metals, let's just assume this, forecast is more or less correct. If we could see a peak at $1,000 silver, I mean, you're not going to see silver trading at like 600 or 700 for long. It could go from 400 to 1,000 pretty quickly. But look, that's how it, that's how it lines up. And I just want to stress, I'm looking at all the data and projecting forward. I didn't say gold's going to go to 10,000 and then try and prove it at some level. I'm looking at the data. When could there be a potential peak? When gold's peaked in the past, where have the ratios been and the relationships with the monetary base, the S&P, and all these things? And if you project where that could be in 15, 20 years, it could be at some uncomfortably high levels and higher than, even most people are talking about now.
With your multi-decade macro view of gold that we're discussing here, on the demand side, who's going to be the primary buyers of precious metals? If you have governments, sovereigns, institutions, and then the average Joe, citizen, retail guy, how do you see that breakdown possibly occurring?
Well, I think that it'll be the groups that you mentioned. I mean, because what really moves precious metals is it's really institutions and it's investment demand. When there's negative real rates, and real rates are falling like you see now, that's when big institutions get involved. They're the ones that really, hedge funds, family offices, maybe even pension funds, because these groups are managing tons and tons of money. I mean, in the hundreds of millions of dollars and even billions in some cases. So when they can't earn, when they're looking at, they see inflation is starting to tick up a little bit. They see the Fed is having a really easy policy. They can't invest in a government bond. They're not going to earn a real return. So when they see that, they say, we have to put our money in gold. We have to own a hard currency. And, they're the ones that make these moves. And, when you have negative real rates and you have, real rates declining, that's what you had in the 70s and in the 2000s, and we're definitely going to see that in the future. That's when the big money all around the world is going to have to get into gold. And I mean, you mentioned an important point about, sovereigns and central banks. I mean, they even see what's going to happen. So around the world, the central banks have been buying a lot more gold. I don't view that as like a short-term bullish thing for the gold market, actually. I could be wrong, but I talk about that in the book. But in any case, the groups you mentioned, those are the people who are going to be buying precious metals. And I mean, they're always there. I mean, we don't have to worry about that. As long as real rates are declining and they're negative, a lot of money is going to be going into precious metals, and it's the big money.
You focus on gold mining stocks for one of your subscription services. You also talk about it in your book. With this big picture view here, what's the breakdown that you're anticipating holding in your own portfolio between physical precious metals and the gold mining stocks? And what more can you say about how you plan on playing the gold mining stocks?
Well, that's a good question, because I look at physical as I look at it as an insurance position. Now, if it's a if it's a portfolio position, then it's more that to me would be owning like GLD or CEF or, you know, maybe the Sprott Trust or one of the ETFs, you know, where they actually have, you know, they actually have the gold and silver. So I think physical to me is more of financial insurance. I, you know, what I want to start doing at some point is basically accumulate a little bit every month. And that's, given my outlook here, there's quite a bit of time for you to do that. And so I think for someone who doesn't want to speculate in the mining stocks, the best thing to do is just accumulate a little bit of gold and silver every month. It doesn't even have to be like $1,000 a month. I mean, if this thing isn't going to peak for 15 or 20 years, even if it peaks in, you know, I'm wrong and it peaks in 7 years or 8 years, that's still a lot of time where you can build up a pretty big position of, you know, physical or, you know, ETFs that are backed by physical. So that's really how I would, I mean, that's how I separate it. I'd like to have both, but I think with respect to the juniors, there's obviously significant opportunities to make a lot of money. I mean, we saw this in the 70s. We saw a real mania, and I think we're going to get that again at some point, but I don't know if that's 7 years away or 15 years away. I think if you look at what happened with the gold stocks in the 60s and 70s, I mean, they made some historic moves from 1957 to 1980. I mean, they even did well into the 80s after the peak. I mean, they did reasonably well considering the huge decline that we had in gold and the real crash in silver. I mean, other than the crash we saw in Bitcoin, I think silver, that's been one of the most epic crashes ever. But the point I was trying to make is, even though we did have this great 20-year run in mining stocks in the 60s and 70s, there were some sharp bear markets in there. So don't think that you can just buy Newmont Mining or buy GDX and hold it for 20 years. I mean, you probably can with GDX, but there's going to be some severe corrections along the way if I'm right about this 20-year bull. So that's how I'm looking to play it. You know, long story short, accumulate physical or physically backed ETFs, and then if you have enough knowledge, you can speculate in the juniors and hopefully make a lot of money.
Jordan's new book is called The Coming New Bull Market in Gold: Why Precious Metals Investments Will Flourish in the 2020s and 2030s. Again, you can access that on his homepage for free. Jordan, you also have some subscription services. So as we conclude, share with us, who would be the ideal person that could benefit from your subscription services?
Someone that has some knowledge about the gold industry and wants to speculate in juniors and attempt to make a life-changing amount of money in the juniors. If you are not inclined in that way, then you can still subscribe if you'd like, but I put out a lot of free content, so you can start with that and follow all my free content. But yeah, you should be someone who has some knowledge about precious metals and the mining stocks and the juniors if you're looking to subscribe.
Again, Jordan's website is thedailygold.com. As always, Jordan, thanks for coming on and sharing your insights.
Thank you so much, Bill. It's a real pleasure to be back with you.
Thank you for listening to this Mining Stock Education podcast. Please subscribe and share with like-minded investors. Visit us on the web at miningstockeducation.com for more resources on precious metals and natural resource investing. At our website, you can also sign up for our free newsletter for interview transcripts, stock picks, and more. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be considered personal legal or investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell securities or any other product. We make every effort to be accurate, but the information presented is not to be considered infallible. It may contain errors, and we offer no inferred or explicit warranty. If personal advice is needed, consult a qualified legal, tax, or investment professional. Do not base any investment decision on the information contained on miningstockeducation.com, our podcasts, or videos. Make sure you always conduct your own thorough due diligence before investing. Realize that we may hold equity positions in or be compensated by some of the companies we feature and therefore are biased and hold an obvious conflict of interest. For our full disclaimer, please visit our website.